Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome everyone to today's Blog Talk Radio broadcast. My name is Cassandra Jones, the presenter of today's broadcast. It's hosted by Philip Singer Ajisipe. He is also today's speaker. Today's topic is the rules of law. To avoid any background interference, we ask that you please put your phones on mute while listening. May the Lord bless his ministry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I welcome all of us today again to this broadcast. And for the listener in the United States of America, I'm using this medium to wish us in celebration of Memorial Day. And I hereby declare Happy Memorial Day in honor of our great heroes. Like the presenters just said, we just want to primarily examine the rules of law. The rule of law. The rules of law. By definition, what is law? And law can be defined as a rule of conduct, a procedure established by custom, agreement, or authority. Law is a rule of conduct, a procedure established by custom, agreement, or authority. It could be in A, the body of rules and principles governing the affairs of a community and enforced by political authority, which we can just summarize to be a legal system. For instance, it could be an international law. B, that is sub-definition, could be the condition of social order and justice created by adherence to such a system. Don't forget, law could be a rule of conduct or a procedure established by custom, agreement, or authority. A philosopher, which is known to every one of us, his name is Albert Einstein, says something which is very important. I quote, he said, "The individual feels the vanity of human desires and purposes as well as the majesty and wonderful order which revealed themselves in nature and in the world of thoughts." Let me repeat that thing so that when you're trying to link it to the definition of the law that I just read in the dictionary. He said, "The individual feels the vanity of human desire and purposes as well as the majesty and wonderful order which reveal themselves in nature and in the world of thought." When we try to define the law, it could be a natural law, and it could be a man-made law. For instance, gravity is a law, and by its definition, its purpose is to oppose anything that wanted to ascend it. By exact a law, a force downward. When it is like for man-made, it could be divine, for instance, a traffic light or a speed camera is a law, but it's not a natural law. And the purpose of this law is to establish a procedure in regarding to the custom with agreement of the authority. Therefore, this man got it right when he said, the individual feels the vanity of human desire and purposes as well as the majesty and wonderful order which reveals themselves in nature and in the world of thought. Now let's go into the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about the law. Just like I mentioned, I try to enumerate on what is called the natural law, man-made law, and I've just given us the definition of law. In the book of Romans chapter 7, I will quickly read from verse 7, and I will expand from verse 7 to 25. Remember, we are trying to explain the rule of law. Why do we need law? The purpose of law and the perspective of law. And why, what law does in humanity. From the book of Romans chapter 7, from verse 7, it reads us, what shall we say then? Is it the law sin? That is, does that mean that law is having problem? And to answer this question, by the definition of the law, which is a rule that establishes a guideline with intention that set a standard between right and wrong. And we want to see, like I said, we want to briefly discuss the purpose, the prospect, and the implication of law. So this question that I read in the book of Romans chapter 7 from verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? That is mean, is the law bad? The answer is certainly not. In the singular pronoun discussion, he said, on the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness, unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Verse 8. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produce in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. You know, I'm reading from New King James Version. Therefore, the law is holy. I will explain it, don't worry. And the commandment holy and just and good. Then he raised another some question. And then what is good become death to me? That is, if we agree that the law is good, what we just read in that from verse 7, then does that make me bad? The answer to this question as well is certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, so under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is not longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For all to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present within me. That evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. I'm bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the rule of law. When man was born, the man that God created in his own image, and man was created to even exercise the authority given by his creator. And God so loved that man, and he placed man in a very majestic universe that we know today. But without law, man cannot survive. But like I said, what is the purpose of law? And what is the prospect of law? It is a logical question. Just like Paul asked that question in that passage that I've just read. Is the law sin? That is the law bad? Like I said, the answer is not. Paul emphatically denies that the law is sinful. Paul used his personal experience as an illustration. Just like I said, that we have a natural law. The natural law gives us the example like a force of gravity, electromagnetism, and so forth, thermodynamic, and so forth, and so forth. We have another man-made law. For instance, red light, green light. We have many other laws, but the purpose of the law is not necessarily mean to eradicate wrong. But without the law, we do not know what is right and what is wrong. See this explanation. Paul said the law also steers up sin. Because without the law, we don't know any wrong. Everything is dormant. Sin can exist. That is, sin can exist without the law. Although without the law, it may be dormant. Without the traffic light, there is no ticket for you to run, or you don't even know whether you have to run the traffic light or not. Even when there is no traffic light, the police have to be positioned there to direct. When there is no police and there is a fault in traffic light, you see how most of the chaos that can cause, it could be accident. But because there was no traffic light, does that mean there is not wrong and right? And the logical question again is that when there is traffic light, can traffic light, if I decided to run the traffic light, can that law just arrest me without something like police or speed camera? You will see what Paul is trying to say. Just like the divination. Without standard of right and wrong, there can be no judgment. Gravity, which is one of the natural laws, you don't have to believe in it. I don't have to believe in it. But it's a law and a standard law anyway. Before you can overcome the gravity, you must be able to have some energy greater than the force of gravity. So also, if I decided to run the red light and I was caught by police, if I have to win the case in the court of law, I have to be able to produce a substantial evidence to negate what I have done. That is, without standard of right and wrong, there can be no judgment of what is sin and what is not. Therefore, the law, however, with its commands against certain behavior, can arouse the desire to perform those behaviors. Can you see that? When there is no law, man can do whatever they want to do and probably go scot-free with it. But when there is a standard of wrong and right now, there is a tendency that the inner mind of man will arouse the desire to perform those evil behavior. Because I decided that, because I think I'm running late to work, and that the red light is yellow, and because I look around, there's nothing that to apprehend me, I decided to run the red light. I violated the law. And my conscience will tell me that what you do is wrong. But because there is nobody to arrest me, I may go scot-free. And the purpose of law is to remind me of certain behavior that I've done. But the irony is that if there is no red light or no nothing, I may decide not even to give the right of way to the car that have the right of way. And if I'm an aggressive driver, I can go scot-free. But there is no conscience for me to think that I violated any law, because there is no awareness that pointed as a law that will just arrest my soul, that we implicate my soul. You see, God created man as his own image to abide by certain rule for human good. But because of the manifestation of this certain rule, which is law, there arose the desire to deliberately or indeliberately, because of nature of human flesh, to violate that law. But because there is nobody around there, does not necessarily mean that to run red lights, I did not commit crime. And that is how God judged human beings too. And that is why Paul was reasoning within himself. He said, I was alive. There was a time when Paul was alive to God. In this scenario, he thought he's doing what is right without the law. Then after his confession, you see, when he was enjoying fellowship with God, he was confronted by the law. And then when he said he's dead, that's a figurative way of saying that his sin nature broke his fellowship with God. When we consider the reason we have red light or yellow light or traffic light, it is to slow down accidents. When God said there should be a gravity, it's to make man comfortable, because the nature of humanity cannot survive with something that will keep you in place so that you can perform your activities. So Paul, when he did not know God at all, when he doesn't have anything, know anything about the law of God, he was able to do what he wanted to do. But as soon as he gave his life to Jesus, when Jesus by himself met him on his way to Damascus, he thought now that, oh my God, there is the law of God that now telling him that you have been doing this. No, you can't do this no more. And invariably what he's saying is that since the law points out the path of righteousness, just like I said, it points to life. Since the traffic law, when you obey it, is for my good and for the safety, which invariably can reduce the accident and save lives. So we find out that the law is good. But when we violate the law, which is an elemental desire in the flesh human being, because of anxiety and the nature, man just look and think that, okay, I can violate this law. Remember, we are trying to use the natural phenomenon to even just corroborate what is the spiritual one. Because I deliberately violate the law does not mean that I do not commit that crime. Paul said, when the law came into the light of his mind, then he knew that he was a sinner. And sin reigned in his nature. Now the law means judgment and death for us. When we focus on the law, we are deceived into sinning, which does kill our spiritual lives. Why are we saying this thing? The law is there to protect us. The law is not the enemy. It just sets a standard of right and wrong, in which we, if we just go not to just focus too much on the law. If I know I'm going somewhere, I don't have to worry about, oh, this light, why is it changing to red and green or something? The only thing I know that if it is red, stop. If it is green, I can move. And that is what we have to do. Because the law is speaking to the innermost of human soul. And that using this physical phenomenon, we can see that God so loved human beings, and he gave us his law to protect us. the law as a whole and the individual commandments are holy. Can you see that? Our problem with sin is not the fault of the law, even the law of God. Only of how our sinful nature responds to the law. That is the problem of humanity. And that is why even you see every human being, they were not perfect. Politician, whatever is really pastor, don't, because the nature of human being is always arose to violate every law, even the law of God. And Paul is saying that the law is good, the law of God is holy, and there's no problem even by the law, because the work of the law is to implicate man. The work of the law is to expose our fallen nature. Just like the law, the man-made law or natural law is to check the activities of man. If the airplane wants to divide the law of gravity, he must be able to be in a perfect condition to overcome the law of gravity. And if he's not able, then he will be a victim of the law of gravity. Same also, if I wanted to be in a certain place in a time, I have to give myself a time to be able to obey the law of traffic. Because if I decided not to, I have to pay the price. But sometimes we find that to do what we want to do, we cannot do it. It's normal because we are all human beings. And that is what we are trying to say, that we do not have to focus too much or question about the law, thinking the law is not good. But we have to work on our nature, and this we might not be able to do ourselves unless we have to surrender unto God, the creator of man and the creator of all things. To figure out the life might be impossible. Aristotle was unable to figure it out. Of course, most of religious leaders were trying to point to the existence of God and some rules. But the grace of God has set us free. And the freedom we have is not for law, but it's a freedom in God so that we be able to obey the law. And that is the purpose. Even in the justice, like we have been talking about this thing in about 3 weeks, we know that it's only God is the one that can help human beings to obey the law of God. Paul knows this thing, and when he knows it, that he sought himself, what he don't want to do, he finds himself doing it. And sometimes you don't want to run the red light, but you have the explanation. But because you have the explanation, does not necessarily mean that you are not guilty of the law. But when we know that we are serving the Lord, we have to surrender unto God. This is the last broadcast, and I hope you will enjoy it. Thank you very much, and we will meet again for another topic broadcast, if God permits. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. Please tune in for another broadcast on June 9th, 2013, on which the topic will be the audacity of time at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Please tune in, and may God bless you. Thank you.